Let me begin by giving you what the Lord spoke to me personally this morning in my time of prayer. He said, America, you've been fooled into thinking you are invincible, that no weapon formed against you will affect you. Your Teflon mentality is foolishness. Your weakness goes beyond your armor and weaponry. Your heart is faulty and has been left open for corruption. For this reason, tormentors are loosed in your nation. The enemy is within your gates. They are here now and have the freedom to destroy at will. They are in your schools, your political and legislative arenas. They are commissioned to continue to bring about your decay. Why, you ask? Why all the pain, suffering, and inhumanity of the hour? Because my gatekeepers have failed to keep the enemy at bay. They have failed to preach truth that is rooted in my son's blood. They have failed to keep the fire burning in my sanctuary. Their passion has turned into poison as they spew out their tripe every time they stand behind my pulpit. For this reason and this reason alone, the tormentors of the last days is upon the earth. Only those who are washed in my son's blood, covered in truth, shall prevail. To those who are chosen, I will give my armor of light, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to minister this word today. Wear me as a glove as I wear you as a coat. Let the anointing and the unction of the grace of God be upon me today. May we have ears to hear and a heart to receive the truth of your word. Hide me now behind the shadow of the cross and let Jesus be glorified. And everybody everywhere said amen and amen. Very strong words indeed. As always, take them to the Father. He gave me the title of this message, and it's called The Enemy at the Gates. The Enemy at the Gates. There's no doubt about it. The enemy is in our gates, within our gates, within the camp of the house of God. He's in that place of authority. Just to give you a little bit of background about gates are the places of authority. They're the places where in the Old Testament, the wise men and the elders and the scribes and the governors and the kings would gather together to decree and declare the things of importance, such as announcements politically, legislatively, if you will, and the things of God prophetically. The gates is a place of authority. And I want to take you first to Matthew chapter 16 real quick, just to read to you as a precursor, if you will, in context of where I'm headed with this message today under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, and I will read it to you. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Matthew chapter 16, 13 through 19. So I began it out with this context for a reason, this message, because the reality is this, that Jesus gave authority and dominion to the church based on the revelation of who he was. Let me try that again. Basing the truth of who he is, what he was, what he could do, all those things, who he will always be, in context of his totality of being the Christ, the Son of the living God, he gave the church this power to prevail against hell. He gave the authority to the church. He gave the dominion to the church to be able to withstand the enemy. No different than he gave man the responsibility in the garden to keep it, to watch over it, to guard it. And the same is the responsibility of a man in a home. When he is in marriage and in a family, he has the power and the authority to push back against the gates of hell, which is the authority of the enemy. And so it is for a single mother or anybody that names the name of Christ in their capacity as a believer, they have authority. The message this day about the enemy at the gate deals with the reality that America and the world, the church worldwide, is in the situation we are in is because the gatekeepers of God, his ministers, have failed at protecting the flock, the sheep, the people, the innocent ones, from the enemy. We have failed in our duty to declare and decree what is right because we refuse to live right. And because we refuse to live right, we let down our standards and we've made a gospel unto ourselves that makes us feel good. It soothes the conscience and it sounds churchy and it sounds righteous and it sounds religious. But the truth of the matter is it is ammunition for the enemy and has gained him access into our homes, into our schools, into our churches, and to the political arenas of our life, into every part of society, to where every institution in this nation and around the world has been polluted with sin. And the enemy is at the gates. He's within our nation today, and the tormentors are being loosed, and we wonder, why are we seeing such destruction? Why are we seeing humanity spiral out of control? And some will say, well, it's just part of prophecy. True, it is, but the reality is somebody somewhere dropped their assignment and mission and mandate from God to hold back the power of the enemy, not in the totality of the world, of course, but in the reality of your own personal life. Is anybody here? In other words, it doesn't have to be to this degree. It doesn't have to be an apostate church to this degree. Not everybody has to go the way of the devil. Not everybody has to go the way of drugs and addictions and pornography and all the craziness that's happening in the house of God. It doesn't have to be that way. Prophecy or no prophecy. Because no man has been determined to be damned by destiny. God doesn't do that. God gives every man every opportunity to live right, every man the opportunity to come to know Christ. He didn't create hell for man. He created for the devil and fallen angels. And so my introduction today begins in Matthew chapter 16 with a clarion call, very crystal clear, very easy to understand that God gave dominion to the church and authority to the church to bind and to loose the keys of the kingdom through the revelation of who Jesus is. Well, obviously, somebody has dropped the revelation of who Jesus is. It's obvious somebody has failed the test of understanding. See, we know Jesus and God in theology, but we don't know him in neology. Come on, somebody, on our knees and on our face. We don't know him according to the power of prayer and intercession and weeping at the altars like we used to do. We don't know him according to truth. We know him according to commentaries and theologians and scholars and high-paid preachers. We don't know him like we used to in the house of God. And I'm going to preach to you this morning this reality under this banner of the enemy at the gates. I want you to go to Jeremiah 7. That's where he took me to Jeremiah chapter 7. I'm feeling good this morning. Got some rain last night here in Georgia. I said, we got some rain last night. Feeling good. Thunder and lightning reminds me of the Lord. I said, thunder and lightning reminds me of the Lord. It's about 1:30, got shook out of bed. Said, yes, Lord. Is anybody here? Say, if you don't believe that, you ain't read the Bible. Every time he talks, it's like thunder and lightning. Shouldn't our preachers stir up a storm? I believe so. Jeremiah chapter 7, we'll take you there. We're going to look at this thing. The word that came to Jeremiah from headquarters. Let me try that again. The word that came to Jeremiah from the bishop. The word that came to Jeremiah from the denomination headquarters located in such and such state. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. I said the word came to Jeremiah from God. The beginning of this message is the fact that we need to hear from God again in the house of God. We need to hear from God from our pulpits. We need to hear from God in our prayer time. We need to put down the lust of this life and the pleasures of this life again as ministers of this gospel and listen to what God has to say. For those of us who are not in ministry and not called to it, we must hear from God so that we're not fooled by these charlatans, witches, and warlocks that are in preachers' outfits and hear the word of the Lord. I need somebody to help me this morning. The word that came to Jeremiah, notice it came to Jeremiah. Jeremiah didn't make it up. Jeremiah didn't think it up. Jeremiah didn't write it up. It came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gates of the Lord's house. Jeremiah, I want you to go to the place where they hang out. I want you to go to the place of authority. I want you to go to the place where they modulate, where they talk and discuss and gossip. I want you to go to that place where they think they have the answers, where the wise men are, where the scribes are, where the people hang out who say they know the law. And I want you to go to that place, Jeremiah. I don't need you to go into the valley. I don't need you to go into the alley. I don't need you to go into the dark place. I want you to go right to the place of authority, because what I've got to say, Jeremiah, is so powerful and it's so truthful, it's going to shake the very gates of the kingdom of Jerusalem. I've got a plan, Jeremiah, and I don't want you to go over there to the servants. I don't want you to go there to the aides and to the assistants. I don't need you to go to the butlers and to the maids. I want you to go to where the authority is. And today's church refuses to go to where the authority is and speak the word of God, because they would rather go to the place of authority and hang out with them to get a photo, to get their name put in some magazine, to get some opportunity for a political campaign or whatever it may be, instead of saying, thus saith the Lord. I truly believe if you're a real man, the woman of God, anytime you get a chance to get around anybody that has power and authority, you will speak the higher authority and the higher power and the higher dominion to them, which is God. You would speak something. I believe that. I have no other reservation. I have no other thought in my mind. Nothing else sinks into me whenever I see these fat cats, if you will, these preacher boys up there with all these famous people, and they just holding hands and loving on each other, and nobody saying nothing about nothing and condemning and rebuking and anything. It's just all, it's all cute. I'm going to tell you something. There's some power of God. There's an aspect of God that's not so cute. Let me try that again. There's some things about God that's not so cute. But the church refuses to recognize and realize this reality, and we paint a picture of God, again, being this old grandpa sitting in the Cracker Barrel of heaven, playing checkers and looking down, doting over his little ones. He's an awesome God. I said he is an awesome God. And the world is about to experience the awesomeness of God in the coming days. We can't find preachers to preach this. And the church is not ready to meet God. The church is not ready to meet God. People say, well, we're going to get out of here. We're out of here. We're going on the rapture. Honey, you're not ready. The church is not ready to go. I said the church is not ready to meet a living Savior. because we are accountable for what we know. We're accountable for that Bible that's in your hand and the truth that's in your heart. We're accountable to give it to the nations of the world, and we refuse to do so by the vast majority within the house. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house. I want you to go to my house. I want you to stand right there. I want you to go right to the temple. I want you to go right there and proclaim these words and say, hear the word of the Lord. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you, hear the word. Let me tell you something about prophetic preaching and preaching as they used to preach in the old days and fire and brimstone, that is called. They would make you hear the word of God. I said, that preacher would holler so loud, he didn't need a microphone. He'd tell you to put down the windows. He's going to preach this thing. Is anybody here today? They would preach, man. Because they would be like, you got to hear the word of the Lord. We can't find no preachers. They don't want to preach. They don't want to say the word of the Lord. They're afraid. First of all, they don't even have the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Now think about this. This is a powerful vision and imagery. If you look at this, here's Jeremiah. Poor Jeremiah. He always gets thrown into the hard things. Says, I want you to go to the gates of the temple, and I want you to stand right there, and I want you to make them hear what I have to say. You got to remember, when they were at the gates, people were discussing, and there was voices and loudness. Everybody was talking, and then Jeremiah had to lift his voice above them. That'll preach right there. I said, our voice needs to be above all the voices. The voices of philosophy. The voices of paganism. Come on, somebody. The voices of New Age religion that's in the church. The voice of all these humanistic self-help gospel preachers that are out there today, peddling poison and tripe, confusing the masses. We need to rise up above them. Hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah, that enter the gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. This is heavy now. The God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Listen to what Jeremiah says. Listen to this boldness of what he says. Watch it again with me. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Who's that? That's the God of angelic armies. The Lord of Sabaoth. Notice how he uses the name the Lord of hosts. Yahweh Sabaoth. Jehovah Sabaoth. It's because he's talking from a military point of view that I am going to bring judgment to you. I'm speaking to you with a very strong term because you're past the coated candy type of ministry and words and all this wooing and drawing you. And oh, please, Judah, don't sin no more. And oh, Judah, please don't do what you used to do. He's past that point, and he's at the point of judgment. I believe the church needs to get a backbone, need to find a spine somewhere, like a T-rail, straighten our backs up and declare and decree to a comfort-coated, listen to me now, candy, cotton candy, foe help me, lollipop church that just wants to be catered to and tell the truth and say judgment is in the house of God. Judgment is upon the nations of the earth, and greater judgment is coming according to the Bible. Can't find that. No, can't find that, because it's going to scare people off. They ain't going to show up after rubby-dub-tub on a Saturday night. Come on, somebody. Won't be in the house of God. No, can't find that. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, watch this, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Imagine the audacity of Jeremiah. He's coming into the temple. You have all the high rollers and hot shots and everybody that's a theologian and a scholar, and they're all these brainiacs, if you will, in the law of God. And they've got all this religious information and pomp and circumstance, and everybody calls him rabbi and calls him whoever and whatever. These names and titles of prestige. But here comes Jeremiah, the prophet, the weeping prophet, with a word and a burden from God and fire shut up in his bones. And he says to them, if you hear me, listen to me, hear the word of the Lord from the Lord of hosts, amend your ways. In other words, here's a Ben Faircloth translation, fix it. Look at your neighbor and say, fix it. Fix it, honey. You need to fix it. What tenacity the Lord of hosts has, and what boldness he put upon Jeremiah to walk into their territory and their tabernacle and say, fix it. And if you will, I'll let you stay here. Oh, come on now. See, this is why the prophetic message and prophetic preaching and Holy Ghost preaching gets resisted by people all the time, because they're like, well, I'm here. I'm fixed. I'm settled. I'm not going anywhere. God loves me. God loves my ministry. Oh, I can do what I want to do because I got grace, man. And Jesus paid the sacrificial price for everything I did and never will do. If you don't believe me, that is a sloppy, agape, greasy grace message that's out there. I've been taught for years and years and years the grace message. I can do what I want to do. I'm already forgiven. I don't have to ask forgiveness. How many times I got to ask forgiveness? How about every day, baby? And you're going to let me, Jeremiah, stay in this place? How dare you? How bold of you, preacher, telling us that God is going to dismantle the church and God is working on the church of Jesus Christ in America and around the world to find its place back at the altar again. And we'll use pressure, we'll use judgment, we'll use a failed economies. He'll do whatever he has to use. He'll use plagues and pestilence. Come on, somebody. He'll use wars and rumors of wars. He'll use everything at his disposal to bring man back to the cross, to bring his church back to authority and a place of dominion. He will and he is. And Jeremiah had this ministry. How many of y'all want a ministry of a prophet? I don't think so. But every one of us has the ministry of the prophetic. Everybody listening to me, everybody watching me, you got a ministry of the prophetic. Anytime you open your mouth and quote a scripture, that's prophetic. You're speaking life. I didn't say have your head, your eyes roll back in your head and thus saith the Lord. I'm talking about the truth of his word. He said, amend your ways and your doings and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Verse 4, trust you not in lying words. Watch this now. Trust not in lying words. This is long before Hananiah pulled up. Saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Did you hear what I just said? He said, don't be fooled by the words of those saying to you, oh, God is not going to judge America. God is not going to judge the church. God is not going to judge us for our sin. Oh, God is going to look the other way. God has just coated us with grace. It's so wonderful. He's not going to deal with our sins. He's winking and looking the other way. It's the bad sinner that he's looking for, the pagan to destroy. Oh, God would never do that to us. He said, don't trust in their lying words. So many people have been fooled in America. The American church has been led asleep into a coma because they believe they can do what they want to do and God's not going to judge them. That's why we have the issues of sin that are like sewage in our churches today. Open sewage. And it begins with the pulpit because we can't find people to tell the truth. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord are these. In other words, they put their trust in the temple and the fact that they had the law and the rituals and the religiosity. They put in the fact that they believed that they were immune. They were immune to tragedy. They thought that they could just escape all of the calamities of the other world. The other parts of the nations and the other parts of the world, just like the American mindset is today. Well, we can't go through that, brother, because God is for us here in America. Oh, we can't have that happen here because God is with us. He's on our side because we have Christian television. We have Charisma Magazine. We have this website and that website full of Christianity. We got 24/7 Christian broadcasted. God would never let that happen in America. And we look down on our crooked nose that have a big wart on the end of it like a witch. And we look at other nations of the world and we condemn them and call them Babylonian and call them pagan and call them this and call them wicked and call them that. When the reality is we're looking in the mirror at ourselves. Our wickedness is just different than theirs. We dress ours differently. We consume our wickedness differently. We hide our wickedness differently. But you can't hide from the all-seeing, all-knowing eye and mind of God. You can't hide. Man will find that later on in the book of Revelation. He'll find out that he'll call the rocks to fall down upon them, and they will not be hidden from God. Man will be in such fear. Let me tell you what it is again. I'm going to read it to you one more time. He said, don't listen to their lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord is here. What is he referring to? He's referring to back in 2 Kings when the king of Assyria had come. Sennacherib was his name. Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, had came and was going to destroy them. And what happened? The angel of the Lord came and destroyed 185,000 of the Assyrian soldiers. And Israel thought because the temple was there, because they had the truth of the word, because they had the ark, because they had God's law, they were immune for the rest of their lives. Watch this. Just because we have the cross and we've got a Bible and Christian television and all these other things of Christianity, trinkets and treasures of Christianity, we think in this nation we're immune from the judgment of God and from our enemies. And that is a lie that our preachers have propelled from the pulpits of America. It's a lie. It's a false gospel. They really thought they were protected. They really believed because of what had happened. So they came when Jeremiah began to say this. He said, you think you're in protection. You think you're invisible. You think you have a Teflon mentality because of what God did way back before. He's going to do it again. He'll continue to do it because we are the chosen ones. The American church mindset is the same. It's putrid. When I talk to people and how they believe that they're going to rise up in this last day, they're going to defend this and defend that, and all you're doing is coming against the very plans and purposes of God. Instead of falling into what God wants us to go through, you know what he wants us to go through? You're not going to like this preacher. You probably don't like him much anyways. He's going to let you go through captivity. He's going to let this nation go through captivity. He's going to let the church go through Babylonian captivity. That's what we're in right now. But he said to Jeremiah, when you go into captivity, settle it and live in it and plant and build. In other words, the kingdom of God will come no matter what's going on in the earth. And I am to settle the fact that I'm to serve him no matter it comes hell or high water flow. It don't matter what's happening in my life prophetically. I'm going to serve God. Not worried about the king of Babylon. I've never seen such a scaredy cat church that I have today concerning politics. Oh, Pharaoh's in charge. Come on, somebody. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to do what we've always done. We're going to wake up in the morning and say, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I put on the whole armor of God and the armor of light. And I face the devil and the darkness that's around me with the gospel truth. And I live my life unto God in holiness and righteousness. If everybody wants to go hell in a handbasket, that's up to them. But I'm going to do everything I can to bring them into the heavens light and truth. Instead of hiding and so scared, what are we going to do? Cletus, what are we going to do, boy? Cletus, get your Bible out, baby. Dust that thing off, boy. And let's read this thing. What's the Bible say? The Bible says the greater one lives in you than he that is in the world. So why am I worried about it? I've never seen such scaredy cats in the house of God. And I'll tell you why. We got preachers got a backbone. I said, we ain't got preachers that got a backbone. If they do have a backbone, many of them misconceive and misunderstand the reasons for the strength of the church. The strength of the church is not to move any nation in a political direction. Our strength is to preach this gospel to a dying humanity, that at any moment they can split hell wide open. At any moment they can face eternity, and we're supposed to prepare you for that day and look at the signs and the times of what's happening around us and warn the church of impending doom. It's happening. That's what we're doing today. We're warning. Are you, everybody here? I'm really just getting warmed up here. Temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. We got the temple here. Boy, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about, man. Have you seen our mega churches, Pastor Faircloth? You and your little town of Livonia? Huh? Peep, what is this, peep squid or something like, you little small little thing, you? Yeah, something like that. I don't know English very good. It's not my first language. Slang is my first language, Sarah. Is anybody, huh? I mean, you look, what are you talking? Have you seen our lights? You seen our stages, man? My pastor's office is bigger than your sanctuary, dude. Yeah, that's a big office. I mean, you know, come on, who do you think you are trying to tell us who, you know, we got God, man. We got God in our Bibles. We got God in our money. We got God everywhere, man. We got a cross out front. You see how big that cross is, man? Pastor, you're just mad. That's it. You're just mad at everybody. I'm not mad at nobody. The only person I'm mad is the devil. I'm just mad at the devil for stealing the souls of men and blinding the house of God that knows better. Come on, somebody. I came in this morning with a purpose. I came in this house with a purpose today, and that is to stir up the body of Christ and expose the devil and all the other hirelings that are out there preaching tripe and lies, keeping God's people from the true battle. And the true battle is to win your family to Christ and win your neighbors to Christ instead of trying to move us in a political direction that will do you no good at the end of the day. Lose your life for a piece of paper when you won't live your life for a king. That's a good preaching right there. Lose your life for a country and a piece of paper rather than to give your life and live your life for the King of all kings. And that word right there, it amazes me. If I could just harness, I can harness the anger and the rage that's in America today. If we could just harness it, man, all of this agenda of what we're going to do, and we're going to storm the gates. Come on, why don't we storm the gates of hell together? Why don't we come against pornography and drug addiction? Why don't we just lay hands on the LGBT barbecue group? Why don't we, come on somebody, lay hands on those that are just messed up in their mind and chemically imbalanced and all the things and the ills of society? Why don't we just raise up and be an army that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ under the banner of love and the power of the Lord of hosts? Ah, no, see, we can't do that. We can't do that because that's not American gospel. Preacher, that's not how we do it in America. We don't do it your way. We do it our way. We're like Burger King. I wish I had somebody help me today. We like Burger King here in America. We're going to do it the way we want to do it. We're going to have it our way. Hold the lettuce and hold the onions. Come on, somebody. Hold the prophecy and hold the doom. Come on, add the rapture. Add the good times and the prosperity. Come on, preacher, man. Give me some more. Ooh, put some more of that sauce on there, that special sauce. What are you talking about? That stuff that makes me feel good when I come to the house of God. Ooh, I just want to feel good again. Honey, you feel good again when you lay your hands on your belly and begin to prophesy and say, I'm blessed of the Lord. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above him. Come on. I'm not beneath. I'm blessed coming in and going out of the city in the field. Men give it to my bosom, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over. Man, I am the head. I'm not the tail. All right. God is with me. There's your blessing. Now, how do you feel? No, we got to hear, well, you know, God just understands your struggles. Yeah, he understands your struggles, but when you've been struggling for 50 years with the same sin, come on, somebody, at some point, you got to pull off the Pampers and get on the pull-ups. Let me move on, y'all. Nobody's my friend this morning. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. I can't get off the edge. preacher. Man, you ought to see our preachers, man. They're athletic, they're built, they're buff. Their wives are tens. Come on, somebody. They drive Bentleys, they got this. You gonna preach this to us? How dare you, Jeremiah? Who do you think you are? Don't you know we got the temple here, man? We got God Incorporated, baby. I'm telling you the truth. Verse 5. For if you thoroughly amend your ways, here he goes again, if you fix it. No, we're not just fix it with duct tape. Come on, man's number one solution to anything broken mechanically, duct tape. In fact, I had a hanger the other day that broke, and I put duct tape on it. Now it's fixed, Flo. I got a fixed hanger with duct tape. Not just any duct tape, Brother Mark. It's camouflage duct tape. You know where I'm from. For if you thoroughly amend your ways, in other words, all the way through, you fix your ways and your doings. Watch what he says. And if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, in other words, do right. Quit killing each other. Quit slandering each other. Quit gossiping against each other. We're talking about the house of the Lord too. Just dogging everybody out, as we used to say back in the old days, dogging everybody out. If you amend those ways and fix those ways, and if you press not the stranger or the fatherless and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place. We're talking about the house. The highest level of segregation found in America is on Sunday morning. Is this thing working? You can't get this person of color, hang out with that person of color. That person ain't got no color. You can't get this culture to hang out with this elite over here whose country club address doesn't fit with your trailer park address. Come on, somebody. You pulled up in the wrong car or no car. In fact, you carpooled to get to the house of God. All of this craziness and division is in the house of God. And Jeremiah is pointing this out through the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, fix this thing. Don't oppress those that are strangers. You ought to hear some people talk. And it's the church. Well, I'll tell you the problem in America is this and that. It's those people. Uh-huh. Over the wall, under the wall, through the wall. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you the truth. And there's no doubt there's problems in society, and I'm not trying to fix everything here, and I don't have a political lean on this. I'm trying to be prophetic and recognize and realize we don't have the right to talk such things as a Christian, that we must embrace, come on somebody, and we must bring people to the cross of Christ and let everything else deal the way it's going to be dealt. Is anybody here? I'm not out to enforce law. I'm out to enforce grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm preaching better than you understand it. But the fatherless and the widow, imagine that, the fatherless. We condemn people. We condemn the widow. We condemn the divorced people. Never seen such a thing. Never seen such an attitude in the church against people who've had rough times concerning marriage. Come on, somebody. Marriage is like combat. If you don't get wounded, you're not married. Watch this. Neither walk after other gods to your hurt. Jeremiah, I want you to talk to him about idolatry. And then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. All you got to do is obey me, and it's yours. Again, look at the audacity of Jeremiah, this prophet who comes into the place of the temple and the place of authority, and he says, listen, now there's an enemy at the gates. There's an enemy within the camp, and the enemy is you. How many of y'all know that probably didn't go too well? That probably began the death sentence for Jeremiah. And then he said, I'm going to let you stay here. I love that. What sarcastic truth that is. People, oh, that's sarcastic. No, that's just truth. I love it. Seems sarcastic, but he says, hey, I'll let you stay here. Who do you think you are? I know it. I can feel the resistance from here. Who do you think you are preaching from that pulpit, telling us we're so bad, telling the church that we're this and that? How dare you? Well, honey, I'm not here on my word. I'm here on the word of the Lord. I'm hearing what God has to say. I'm here to tell you what the word for this hour is in my assignment and part of the totality of what God is saying throughout the nations. Verse 8. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Do a survey when you have an opportunity and read and find out that there were 22 sins of Judah that they were indicted for by God. 22 sins. Read it. 22. Not two, not one, not a few. 22 sins that God had an issue with Judah. And he said, you're listening to lying words that can't profit you. Everything that's within me, I pray that folks that hear this will be shaken to quit listening to lying preachers and preachers that are promising you a future in America. Red, white, and blue, Chevy, apple pie, baseball, all the malarkey that we've been sold over the years, and use it in a way that is distorted, in a way that takes away the kingdom reality of the prophetic reality of the hour that we're living in. And the purpose of why we're here on earth. My purpose on this earth is not to make money. My purpose in this life is to make disciples, to bring people to Christ. That is your responsibility. That is your job. But we have the American utopia mindset that we're here for our 401ks, that we're here for our future, to grow old together by the seashore of life. As the birds do their little thing, flying around. How sweet. Sounds like on Golden Pond, doesn't it? Don't make me do the impression. I'll cause you to do it on this place. But no, you're going to trust in lying words. Watch what he says in verse 9. Y'all got time? I got some time. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by thy name, and say we are delivered to do all these abominations. Here's the translation. He says, you mean you're going to go out and do all these sins? You're going to go out Monday through Friday. You're going to fornicate. You're going to be whatever you want to do. You're going to have debaucheries. You're going to be a part of pornography. You're going to be a part of addictions. You're going to live in the world like a pig in the mire. And then all of a sudden, you won't come into the house of God, take your little spiritual religious bath, get a little sprinkle, come on somebody, to make your conscience feel good so that you can go back out and do it again Monday through Friday. That's exactly the revolving door that Jeremiah was putting on them and giving them as an indictment. Judah, you are doing what you want to do, the way you want to do, and you come into this house and you say you're cleansed because you spent a few minutes listening to Dr. Babel. And once you had Babel pour all over you, you go back into Babylon, back into the world, and everything's peachy keen, everything's just wonderful because you spent some time at the house of God. And you know that's what folks are doing in the church today. You know that's what they're doing listening on live stream. That's what they're doing in their life, is just to feel good about themselves. Then they go back like a pig to the mire. Come on, somebody. You can put $1,000 mink coat and $10,000 jewelry and perfume and whatever you want on a pig. When that pig gets out of your care, first thing he's going to do is go find a mud pile. Why? Because man loves his sin. Man loves darkness. That's why he hides from God. He hides his sin. But you know and I know you can't hide from God. Can you believe this audacity that Jeremiah had? How dare you point the finger at us, preacher? But they did. A revolving door of sin. That's why the enemy's at the gates. That's why the enemy's in the camp. That's why the enemy's in America. That's why the enemy's in our house. That's why our enemy's in our churches. That's why we don't have clean Christians. We can't get people clean because the preacher's dirty. I said, the preacher's dirty. He's the biggest pig in the whole, come on somebody, in the whole barnyard. Is anybody here? It's the truth. And he teaches the people to fornicate and teaches them how to live his lifestyle. Listen, I will tell you a spiritual principle. As the head is, so is the body. If the head's sick, so is the body. If the head is corrupt, so is the body. The number one sin of any church, any fault of that church, is based on the sin that's happening behind the pulpit that's being allowed to fester. That's the truth. And if the pastor doesn't stop what's going on, he doesn't take that staff and deal with it, it will become a fever and an epidemic throughout the house. Watch this, watch this. I am not slowing down, so hold on to your keys. Verse 11, is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers? I remember Jesus talking about that. He quoted this, didn't he? A den of robbers in your eyes? In other words, you made my house a place of thieves, so thieves get together. I'm about to preach this thing. It's like the mafia getting together every Sunday. Bunch of thieves and robbers, man. Well, how do we rob God? Well, first of all, you rob him with your tithe and offerings. Malachi said that. How do we rob God? You rob him from his righteousness and purity and power that he wants to pour out in your life and give you glory. You change it for all the garbage of the world. Almost said crap. Glad I didn't. But you know it's the truth. What do you want me to say? Malarkey. I mean, it's the reality of what we're doing and what we're living. And the preachers let it go. Oh, that's just Bobby Joe there, boy. Don't worry about that. He's a good boy. Yeah, he's a good boy. Yeah. Likes moonshine and tobacco. Don't he, good boy? Gives a lot, too. You robbed them. The preacher's robbing folks when they ain't telling them the truth about the gospel and living holy and living right. Now, I'm not a clothesline preacher, but what I am is a preacher of holiness and righteousness. And if you're faking the funk, if you will, if you're trying to shake it and hide it from God and hide it from man, you're a fool. And the preacher who helps enables you and becomes codependent with you to allow you to be that snake in the grass, he's guilty. You're a thief. Preacher, you're a thief if you listen to me right now, and a robber if you don't tell a man that fornicating is wrong and adultery is wrong and pornography is wrong and alcoholism and all the other issues of life is wrong before a holy God. You are a thief. You're a robber. And you made the house of God a den of thieves. Did you hear this today? There's an enemy at the gate, man, in the house of God. We've got to be gatekeepers, and when that devil tries to come in, we shoo him out. Yeah. And let me tell you, they'll come in dresses. They'll come in dresses, they'll come in suits, they'll come in Cadillacs, they'll come in Mercedes. That's a Mercedes for y'all. They'll come Yodas, they'll come in it. They'll come in all kinds of ways and forms and fashions into the house of God. And the preachers are so glad to get another nickel and nose in the house. He ain't going to say nothing. I know I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. Won't say nothing to nobody. Well, I don't want to offend nobody, Pastor. And just let God work on them. Well, if you don't show them God, how can God work on them? If you just accept and embrace and say, well, you know, I'm not talking about beating everybody up as soon as they walk in. Hey, how's it going? Bam! Hit it with a Bible. Get yourself right, amen. Skirt's too short. Come on now. We're not talking about those things. We're talking about the lifetime and lifestyle of a church, the theme of a church. How are you discipling people? How are you raising them up? What are you teaching them? What are you modeling? What are you showing them as a pastor? Hey, man, follow me as I follow Christ. this is what I'm doing. You don't want to do it. That's okay. I'm not going to beat you and condemn you. I'm just telling you that this is what the word says. Walk in the light of the revelation you have received. And when you sit in a house like this and you listen to a word like this, you are accountable for it. Because I'm accountable. And I know somebody's saying amen somewhere right now listening to me. They're shouting. Don't throw no shoes. Throw money. Watch this. Is this house what's called by my name a den of robbers in your eyes? Is how you view it? Is this the best you can give me when you come into the house of God? Is this the best you can do? It amazes me how folk treat the house of God. Now, I'm not going to get into it lest you think I'm trying to harp and harm somebody. But I could say a whole load of stuff. I've been doing this for 25 plus years. My wife and I, and I've seen some folk. Let me help you now. I've seen some folk, man, that I didn't want to go in their house. Because I've already seen an example of the way they treat the house of God. Watch this. Behold, even I have seen it. Who's seen it? God. I've seen it. I know how you act. I know how you act in the house of the Lord because I know how you act at your own home. Man, pastor's really picking. No, I'm grinning. Verse 12. But go you now into my place, which is in where? Shiloh. Watch this. Where I set my name at first and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. Watch this. That was the place of the tabernacle, was in Shiloh. It was in the first place that God set his name and set his place to be worshiped. He said, I want you to go back to Shiloh. I want you to go back into the past, and I want you to see what happened in Shiloh. Watch this. God gave them an example how he judges. You say, why does that matter? What is Shiloh? What does it mean? What does it matter? Here's what it means. He totally destroyed them. Ephraim, he totally destroyed this area through war. Why? Because of the idolatry and what they had done. It was a total destruction because of their sin. You can read about it in 1 Samuel 4. You can read about Eli and his sons and how that they had sexual encounters with the workers, the women of the tabernacle. And all that was taking place. Is anybody here? Phinehas and Hophni. The sons of Baal. That's what they were called. The sons of Baal. The sons of the devil. Ere the light of the temple went out. And when God called Samuel in chapter 3. And Eli's eyes were growing dim. And they were taking the best. Watch this. You can go read all this. They were taking the best sacrifice that was reserved for God, and they ate it unto themselves, forsaking the worship of God. And that's what we're doing today in the church. We're taking the best of the word, and we're not preaching it to the people. We're taking the best of the luxury and life and lifestyles, and we're holding it to ourselves. We're fleecing and robbing and raping the people of their finances and of their hopes and of their dreams, and we're taking it unto ourselves. We got to have bigger homes, bigger offices, bigger cars, more staff. We got to be on more billboards. We got to be all over America. Everybody's got to know our name to be successful in America, and we've taken the enterprise of the corporate model and placed it in the house of God, and God says, I've had enough of it. It stinks. It smells like sewage to me. I need some folks to get back like Samuel to the basics, who heard my voice, who heard my call and woke up in the middle of the night while the light began to go out and took the call. God's looking for that. You need to read that. And the answer was this. God said, look what I did to them when they had the tabernacle. Now you've got the temple and you want to act more righteous. Come on, that's the generation today. Oh, we got more technology. We got all this. We got QR codes. we got this and we got that. And when the reality is you're looking back and you're not learning from the past of what our forefathers messed up with, and we think we're better today in the temple, we're better today with technology, we're better today because we're this generation or that generation, when sin is sin and God is still God and the Word is still the Word and He has a standard to live by, whether it's old or whether it is a new time, it is the reality of what God says that matters. But we've used technology to coat and to cloak our sin. We've used modernism and all these things with our preachers. I mean, man, they're awesome. They can say all kinds of words that I can't even think straight with. Come on now, I just speak plain. I mean, they'll sit there and wow you and woo you with all kinds of big words. I'm working on C-Spot Run. Come on, somebody help me. You know what I'm talking about. And the ark was taken. Read about it, man. It is one of the most heartbreaking stories. The Philistines came, listen to this. The Philistines were in their camp. They heard the roar of Israel. It literally thundered throughout the valley, throughout the region. And the Philistines freaked out. They literally said, oh my gods, if you will, the God of Israel is there. He will slay us. Their popularity and the fame of everything God ever did for Israel is upon them, and we're going to die. But then they rose up and said, well, let's just fight anyways and see what happens. And what did they do? They went into the camp and they destroyed Israel, where over 30,000 footmen were killed. And they did what? They took the ark of the covenant that Phinehas and his brother were responsible for. And Eli, the high priest, they lost the glory. They both died. And when they died and the word came to Eli, Eli fell off of his chair and broke his neck and he died. And his daughter-in-law gave birth to Ichabod, and she died. Is anybody here today? And Ichabod means the glory of the Lord has departed. God's glory had left Israel, but they're saying, the temple is here. We're America the Great. We're America the Church Incorporated. We're strong, and nobody could ever do anything to us, Pastor. Don't you know our history? We beat Mussolini. We beat Hitler. We beat all these tyrants of the past, and we're here today stronger than ever before. And God says you're a foolish people that trust in your past and your armor and weaponry of what used to be. It's the truth. No different is applied to the Christian life. That, oh, God's going to deliver me out of this and that, so I'll go ahead and fornicate like a rabbit and do what I want to do. Fill my eyeballs with whatever I want to see, and God don't have no problem with it. I'm going to shake myself like Samson did. But he had no idea the anointing had left him. We're in the midst of a shaking in America, and the church is trying to shake itself like Samson and has no idea the anointing has left, and they don't know why we're in the trouble we're in. The enemy's at the gate, and your preacher won't say nothing about it. He's too afraid. Pantyhose-wearing preachers. I don't care if you like me. I love you. Is anybody here? Shiloh to Israel. During the judges is what what Jerusalem was to them during the kings. It was the same sin. They've repeated the same sins of the forefathers. And God sent Jeremiah and a grace plea to get right. Fix it. And they wouldn't. And now because you have done all these things, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not. In other words, I came to you early before the storm came. I gave an early warning. Preacher's been preaching. I'm not preaching anything new. Don't think that I'm some new guy. I got some new revelation. I got nothing new. What I got is from the Ancient of Days. I bet you can go back in the archives and find old preachers that preached these in the Brush Harbor days of Jeremiah chapter 7. And other places where God pronounced judgment upon a nation. This is nothing new. God's been doing this for a long time. Think about you and your sin. God been dealing with you for a long time. And speaking, but you heard not. And I called you, but you answered not. Therefore, I will do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein you trust. Watch this. You trust the house more than the name. I'm running around this place. You trust more in the church, more in the enterprise, the corporation of the church, the CEO, the big shot standing in front of you. You put more trust in the church than you do in God. I know I'm telling you the truth because there's people that are addicted to YouTubers. I'm gonna break this microphone. They just addicted. They're like flies headed to the light, to the bug zapper. They just gotta go there. Got like a moth. Gotta go there. Gotta have my fix, man. Gotta hear what the word of the Lord is. I gotta hear. I can give you a prophetic channel. It's right here. It's called the Bible. Why don't you read it? Why don't you just read that Bible right there from Kiver to Kiver? You'll find some truth there. You'll find some prophecy. You don't need some 6-foot icicle giving you some type of philosophy, making you feel good. Fortune cookie Christianity. Man, I got to get out of here. Y'all, you're not going to like me any more than you do. Watch this. Speaking, but you heard not. I called you, but you wouldn't answer. Therefore, I'll do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein you trust, unto this place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. Listen, folks, he's going to do it again. He's going to shake the house. House is going to be shooken by God. If you like shaking, whatever your English grammar requires, let me just tell it you this way. Judgment begins at the house of God. Therefore, I do unto this house. Watch this, verse 15. I'm trying to close. And I will cast you out of my sight and have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. He said, I'll do it. Oh, I don't believe it. I don't believe God's going to judge America. I don't. All we need is another revolution, Pastor, and we're in, man. We got it, boy. No. I'm going to do it again. Verse 16, therefore pray not for this people. This is the second time we've heard this recently. Neither lift up a cry nor prayer for them, nor make intercession for me, for I will not hear thee. Seest thou not what they did in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood and the fathers kindle the fire. And the women knead their dough to make cakes to who? Ishtar, the queen of heaven. She was the queen of Babylon. I can't preach this. I don't have enough time. But that's exactly what we're doing. Giving our sacrifices to the queen of heaven. Giving it to Ishtar. Giving it to the Babylonian goddess. Giving it to the god of self. Giving it to the god of the belly. It's all about what I can get. To hell with everybody else. I don't care about you all, what you do. I got mine. I'm going to protect my family. We're going to do vacations. We're going to live the high life, man, because Jesus wants the best life now. Instead of realizing there's an enemy at the gate, there's an enemy that's terrorizing your children, terrorizing your home. You need to put your foot down, cut that snake's head off. Preachers need to get a backbone again and preach truth with love. Man, I love you, but I'm going to deal with you. Is that all right? Verse 19. Do they provoke me to anger? Saith the Lord. Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion to their own faces? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man, upon beast, upon the trees of the field. How many of y'all know that's happening right now? In a precursor sense of what's happening in the last days and what God's going to do in the coming judgments when it really heats up. The earth has gone nuts. The weather has gone nuts. You have drought in one part. You have flooding in another. You got parts of Europe have never seen flooding as a drought as such as now. And then you have flooding in other places. It's absolute upside down. Why? There's a disconnect. And we're in the last days. I've got to go. Verse 21, you can read the rest. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. Can I just tell you what he's saying? You eat it, because I don't want nothing to do with it. You take that offering. You take that fake sacrifice and stuff it. You eat it. Just read it. See, you don't believe God talks plainly. Yeah, he does. You just eat it. You want it? Take it. But see, God doesn't want that to be the final word for our lives. There's an enemy at the gate. He wants our lives to reflect the reality of the kingdom of God. He wants us to worship him in beauty and truth. He wants us to worship him in holiness. And he wants us to come clean with him. But when it comes to a time when man won't listen, God gets to the place where he said, I had enough. And I'm praying that the body of Christ, through this message and the messages that the prophetic community will present in the coming days, will wake up and realize that God is an amazing God. He's a loving Father, but he's also a God of discipline. If you're watching me right now, you don't have to be on the part of discipline. You can be on the part of blessing if you'll give your life to Christ. It's not too late. It's not too late. No matter how far down the road you've gone in sin, God will bring you back if you'll just let him through his son, Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins today and ask Jesus to be Lord of all. If you're backslidden, you're a preacher listening to me, or just a minister of the gospel, or just a church-going folk on Sunday or whenever, recognize and realize that if our lives are far from him, then we're no different than the pagans. We're no different than those that are in foreign nations of the world who reject God. We need to make it right today. There's an enemy at the gate, and you can stop him in your life. Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach today. I pray that it would go far and wide, not for my sake or the name of this church, but for the name that's above every name, and I thank you for it. Help us to recognize the enemy at the gates. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.